Now, tell us, Larry Cohn, how many feature films have you actually written or directed?
Oh, I've done about 46 movies that have been produced and 7 television series that I've created.
Now, do you have an overall theme to the body of your work?
Well, there is this, sort of a theme, yes, because I've done a lot of movies about innocent-seeming objects that our society takes as benevolent, and I've tried to turn them into something horrific and frightening and dreadful. Like, we took ice cream and made a movie called The Stuff, where ice cream killed people. We had a movie, couple of movies called Maniac Cop, where a police officer who usually does good does nothing but evil and kills people. And then we did It's Alive. We did 3 of those movies about a monstrous baby. Nothing more benevolent and loving than a baby, and we made a monstrous thing out of it. We made a movie about the FBI, which is usually considered to be the pantheon of goodness, and we showed the FBI's flaws, and we made what some people call a political horror movie. So we've done many, many films like that. That's kind of the style that I've developed over the years.
Now, Larry, how many television series have you actually created for the networks?
Well, we did. We had 7 series that actually played on the networks that I created. Most popular was Branded, a Western with Chuck Connors. It was on for many years and still plays in syndication. And then we had The Invaders, which was a very popular science fiction show on the ABC network, which played for a number of seasons and is out on DVD now. And so is Branded, available on DVD. And then I had a series on NBC called Cool Million, which was a private detective series about a detective who gets $1 million a case. That included James Farentino. It was on for a couple of seasons. And then we had Blue Light, which is a World War II thriller, and Coronet Blue, which was on CBS, which was about a guy who has amnesia and is found floating in the river. That was years before The Bourne Identity came along with the exact same plot. Our series was on, and was quite popular for a while. And we even had a daytime soap opera called Never Too Young, and a couple of other nighttime shows as well. One with Lorne Greene called Griff, which he starred in after he finished with Bonanza. And so we had quite a few television shows on, and I still once in a while dabble in television.
I remember Griff.
Oh, you do? Well, you're the one. You're the person. You're the one. I know there was somebody that might have seen that show.
No, lots of people saw that show. Now, how do you feel about Clint Eastwood making a J. Edgar Hoover movie? You made one yourself back in 75. How do they compare?
Well, in 1975, when we made the picture, it was extremely daring to make a picture critical of the FBI. This town, Hollywood, had been terrified of the FBI and of the blacklist and of the House Un-American Activities Committee and all that anti-communist stuff. And a lot of people lost their jobs, and studio executives and actors and writers, everyone was paralyzed with fear. And the FBI was behind it all. So when I went ahead and started the idea of making a movie critical of the FBI, it was something that had never been done before in the history of movies. As a matter of fact, I think it was a law against depicting the FBI in a film without permission from the Bureau, but I disregarded that, and nobody ever arrested me. We made the film. People were really afraid of the picture in terms of distributing it, even though it had a lot of stars in the film. People like Broderick Crawford, who won the Academy Award for All the King's Men, and Jose Ferrer, and Celeste Holm, loads of Oscar winners, and yet people were frightened of the picture. And we shot it in real locations at the FBI. We managed to get ourselves in there, and we shot at Hoover's house, and we shot in all the installations around Washington, D.C., and made a very authentic movie with many FBI people present in the film and people who had worked with Hoover. And so it was the most authentic version that anybody could ever make. Mr. Eastwood, who's a sort of a friend of mine, and I worked with him in the past. He's made a great, big, expensive, high-budget movie with Leonardo DiCaprio with a lot of makeup on, and it really doesn't follow the facts or the historical evidence goes off in all kinds of directions that aren't absolutely full of veracity. But I tried to send them some notes and memorandums on it to try and correct their mistakes after I read the script. They did make some adjustments, actually, I think partially because of what I sent them. And I hope it's a good movie. I know it's going to be a definitive movie because it's got a big budget movie with big stars and a big director attached. So I hope it's a good movie. I know that ours was an exceptionally good film. And it's available on Amazon.
Well, what gave you the nerve to take on the FBI?
Well, you know, I loved FBI movies when I was a kid. And then when I got older and started to read all the facts behind the Bureau and the things that they did wrong and the things that they did right, I thought I wanted to make a picture that really dealt with the Bureau as they really were, not as they were depicted in films like The FBI Story, which was a complete whitewash of the Bureau. So nobody else had done it. I thought I'd be the first one to do it. And I always like to do something that nobody else has done before.
I love that. I love your tenacity. Now, I've got to ask, Secrets of Hoover and the FBI, was there anything that was too hot to deal with in that movie? Can you tell me about it now?
Well, in the movie, we said at the end of the film that the FBI was the source of the information that brought Nixon down, which was the Watergate information, and that the so-called Deep Throat was really an FBI representative. And we said that in 1975, and it took 35 years for the facts to come out that it was Mark Felt, who was the acting director of the FBI at the time, who was Deep Throat and who leaked the information. It came directly from the highest echelons of the FBI, and nobody wanted to deal with that when we exposed that back in 75. They all looked the other way. Even the Washington Post, that knew the facts because they were the people who published the Woodward and Bernstein articles.
Right.
They knew very well that we were absolutely correct, but they did their best to discredit the movie in the newspaper because they didn't want those facts to come out. It wouldn't have looked so good for those two reporters if it turned out they were just conduits for the FBI's information, which was leaked in order to bring down the Nixon administration. So we had that number one. We had that first. I mean, certain things we couldn't put in the movie. Certain things even now they wouldn't put in the movie, like, you know.
Like what?
Well, you know, Hoover's fervent belief that the assassination of Kennedy was performed under the orders of Fidel Castro and that it had to be covered up because otherwise we would have had to go to war and attack Cuba. And that might have brought the Soviet Union into it. We might have been in the middle of World War III. So the FBI helped cover it up. And the information will never be made public until Castro dies. This will explain why, even though we have made reapproachments with Russia and we have made reapproachments with Red China and with Vietnam, who we fought against so violently for years, we don't seem to ever be able to reapproach with Cuba, which is right off the coast. What did they do that was so terrible that we can never forgive them and never deal with them again? Well, the answer is they killed the president of the United States. So as long as Castro's alive, there will never be an end to the hostilities. Every president that comes in gets advised of the facts. This is the reason why Bobby Kennedy didn't make a fuss about the assassination results and the Warren Commission report. This is why it was all hushed up, to keep us out of another war.
Now tell me about your website, the LarryCohnFilmmaker.com.
Well, LarryCohnFilmmaker.com has scenes and excerpts from a lot of my movies, so you can see a sample of my work, and it has a 17-page article about why Clint Eastwood got the FBI all wrong in his new movie. You can bring that up if you want to see it, and lots of other interesting information, and we're also putting out a whole roster of unproduced screenplays that I think are really good films that haven't been made yet, but I'd like the public to be able to read and enjoy, put on their favorite movie music, cast their favorite actors in the roles in their imagination, sit down and even act it out the scenes with friends of theirs if they want to, and enjoy a movie in your own imagination. And if you like the movie, when you finish, you can always send an email to the head of your favorite movie studio telling him about this wonderful screenplay. I think the internet's a fabulous tool and millions of people can be harnessed. And I think some of these scripts are just fabulous scripts. And, you know, nowadays, if you don't have a whole roster of special effects or a comic book character, movies are very hard to get made. There aren't too many intelligent movies made. So we've got a lot of intelligent screenplays here. If people would like to enjoy an evening of reading a screenplay, which only takes about an hour and a half to read, you can have a lot of fun reading it. My scripts are easy to read, and they move right along, and you'd have a good time, and it wouldn't cost you anything. And you'd feel like you saw the movie when it was finished.
Yeah. Now, Larry, what movies of yours do you actually want us to see?
Well, first of all, I'd like people to see The Private Files of J. Edgar Hoover, which is available at Amazon, because it's such a good movie, and it's got so many great old stars from the movies of the past, and also because they can compare it with the new Clint Eastwood version. And I think a lot of people will find it favorable, because you're looking at the real McCoy. This is what really was shot at the FBI at the time, in Hoover's office, in Hoover's home. And so we went to great trouble to make that picture as true as possible. And lots of information that's been left out of the Eastwood version. Then I'd like you to see Q, the Winged Serpent, with Michael Moriarty, a great performance. A lot of people think that's one of my favorite movies. I'd like you to see The Ambulance with James Earl Jones, and I'd like him to see, you know, the It's Alive trio, which they have also at Warner Brothers. That's Warner Brothers home video, home entertainment, and they have quite a few of my movies. Almost all my pictures can be found on Amazon. And over at MGM, we have Wicked Stepmother with Betty Davis, her last performance in a movie, and a lot of great comedians in the film, including Tom Bosley, who just passed away, who was a lovely guy to work with. And we had a great deal of fun making that picture. Full Moon High with Alan Arkin, comedy werewolf movie. If you want a few laughs, that's also available from MGM. And you can get that also, I guess, on Amazon. So there's a whole bunch of pictures that I think people will have a good time looking at. And the first picture I ever did, Bone, with Yaphet Kotto, a wonderful black actor. This is one of the best pictures I ever made. It's a bizarre black comedy about a housebreaker who breaks into a Beverly Hills home and finds himself in the middle of a dysfunctional marriage, and ends up falling in love with the woman he's kidnapped. It's a black comedy, and it deals with racism in America in the most explosive way, and I don't think there's been another film since it was made in 1970 that has dared to go this far in dealing with race relations in America, which, though some people don't think so, still remains a problem. You know, when a lot of people think that the Republicans are trying to get Obama out of office because he's a black man, then you realize that racism in America isn't as dead as people might have thought it was. So I think you'd enjoy Bone. It's a terrific movie, and it's available in the Larry Cohen collection as well. So you can see God Told Me To, which is a thriller, and you can also see Q, the Winged Serpent, which is a big monster movie that's a lot of fun. So that's a great three-pack of movies that are available. And so I would suggest people sample the movies, or else sample the ones that are on my website and see which ones you like. You know, we had a picture called Cellula, which was made, and it was a very good thriller and had a wonderful cast of actors. And then the Chinese bought the rights and remade the picture under the title Connected. And it's a Chinese language picture, but it's the same movie, but in Chinese. And, you know, in many ways, it's actually better than the American version.
I would love that movie.
I wouldn't exactly know how you get Connected, but I'm sure if you're on the internet, you can find it.
Anyway, I also wanted to ask you, this is unusual. You're putting unproduced screenplays on the internet. for people to read them and enjoy them. I've never heard that before. Aren't you concerned that people will steal your ideas?
Oh, well, in the past when people have stolen my ideas, I made a lot of money. Because, you know, when they produce something that's based on your work and they don't have the rights, you end up owning the picture. So I don't think people are going to do that. I would. We advise them not to do it on the website, and I certainly hope they're not going to steal it. But as I said, a couple of times in the past when studios have taken my ideas and we brought action against them, we collected tremendous amounts of money, far more than we would have if they had bought the material. So I'm not encouraging anybody to steal anything. I'm just encouraging them to enjoy it and then pass it on to their friends. And if they all like it, send an email to the movie studios, to the head of production at Paramount or Universal or, you know, 20th Century Fox or any of the major studios that they like this material and look to see a movie made of it.
Now, Larry, you say that there's a film festival screening your films. When's that going to be, this, and where?
Well, on the 2nd, I believe, of November, we're going to screen the J. Edgar Hoover movie at the Museum of the Moving Image in New York City. That's located in Queens. It's a big motion picture museum. It's a fabulous place to visit. It's got a tremendous amount of exhibits of things from the movies and all kinds of audiovisual games that people can play, and they can dub their voice into the movies, and they can alter movies, and they can have a great time. You can spend the whole day there. But they're going to run this movie in their brand new auditorium, which is gorgeous. And we just finished running the same movie at Lincoln Center a couple of weeks ago and had a big sellout audience. So that's going to be the Museum of the Moving Image, November 2nd. And then we're running it out here at the Cine Family Theater on Fairfax on the 15th and 16th of this month. And then they're showing it up in the Hoover Pictures being shown up in Berkeley at USC also sometime this month. They'd have to check with the college and find out when it's running. So there are countless screenings, but that goes on all the time. My films are being shown at film festivals all the time. I just came back from over in Europe, where we had a very nice film festival, and they ran 15 of my movies, and so that was a nice trip. But it did keep me awfully busy, I'll tell you. You know, appearing at 15 screenings inside of a week's period is a tough job.
Yes, it is. I've been to the Toronto Film Festival and the one in New York, and I remember trying to get to one after the other was a job.
Well, this was in Vienna, Austria, and they ran 15 of the movies at the Vienna Film Festival, and I flew over, and they were very nice to me, but I must say I was working pretty hard to do Q&As and introductions to 15 movies.
Oh, my gosh, I can imagine. Now, you have a small list here, Black Caesar by MGM.
That was one of my biggest hits. A terrific hit for me. It was the first big box office hit that I had. And then we made a sequel to it called Hell Up in Harlem, which was also a big success. These are prime examples of what they call black exploitation movies. And they're very entertaining. And they're also available from MGM.
It's Alive.
That's from Warner Brothers. That was the first of the three It's Alive movies, with the number one box office picture in America. And it spawned two sequels. And it continually plays and is considered a classic, with a wonderful musical score by Bernard Herrmann, one of the great composers of motion pictures.
The Ambulance?
The Ambulance has got one of my favorite actors, James Earl Jones, and it's got Eric Roberts and my old pal Red Buttons, who is a wonderful comedy actor, and who became one of my best friends from the movie. It has a warm place in my heart, and it's quite a good thriller, very entertaining, good for the entire family.
Special effects.
Yeah, special effects is a movie with Eric Bogosian, who is a famous performance artist, best known in New York of any place, but he's got a terrific reputation, and he wrote and starred in Talk Radio, which was a motion picture that Oliver Stone made, and this picture he plays a washed up movie director who's desperate to get back into the business again. It's quite a humorous commentary on the motion picture business and a pretty scary thriller at the same time, also available from MGM.
And The Stuff?
The Stuff is a popular food product. It masquerades as ice cream, totally addictive. And the ad campaign was, are you eating it or is it eating you? And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And particularly in a week following the murderous rampage of cantaloupes that went around and killing almost a dozen people so far. So, I mean, which would you rather be killed by, ice cream or cantaloupe?
Oh, my goodness, what a choice.
Yeah, I'm saying it sounded ridiculous when you made the movie, but when you realize all the different things that are out on the market that can kill you, and quite often do, the picture isn't as ridiculous as it seemed at the time. It's a fun movie with a lot of good people in it.
Now there's Q, the Winged Serpent.
That's about a giant bird that terrorizes New York and nests up in the top of the Chrysler Building, which is one of the most beautiful skyscrapers. And we shot it up there, 88 stories above the street, dangling from ropes, shooting on the top of the skyscraper, firing off machine guns, and doing all kinds of lunatic things that we would be arrested for as terrorists if we did them today. Couldn't get away with making this movie under today's regulations. But at the time, we were able to terrorize a good portion of New York City and shoot this crazy, wonderful, wonderful big monster movie.
Then there's Bone.
Well, Bone, I talked about before, was my first movie, and that's the movie that is really a comedy about racism in America. Shouldn't be missed.
And God Told Me To?
That's my most popular film in film festivals around the world. God Told Me To is a rather bizarre horror movie about people committing crimes of great violence and saying that they were told to do it by God. And interesting cast, and Andy Kaufman made his first motion picture appearance in this picture, playing a psychopathic cop who goes crazy in the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York, and amongst 5,000 policemen, starts firing off his gun and shooting people, creating an absolute chaos. That for that one scene alone, everybody should see the movie. But the whole picture is a hoot, and a lot of people love this movie and they keep requesting it all the time. The real thrill I get is having a film festival or a screening and having people come up and fill the theater up like they did at Lincoln Center in New York, or out here a couple of weeks ago at the New Beverly Theater, which Quentin Tarantino owns and uses to screen classic movies. And you see the theater filling up with people who come to see your picture, and you get to hear them react, laugh and scream and holler and have a good time and applaud. I mean, that's what you make these pictures for the thrill of seeing them with an audience, or else knowing an audience is watching them. So that's my reward. I already got paid on all these movies, and many of them have gone into profits, but the most enjoyable part of it all is knowing people are watching the films, that they stay alive, you know? They're like your kids. You like to hear that your kids are working someplace. Yeah, you like to hear that your movies are playing someplace.
You've already done that one movie that's gone to China, and they've remade it in Chinese, I'm assuming Mandarin. Are you going to consider doing that again and bringing more movies to the Chinese market? Because the Chinese market is the most populous in the world.
Well, that's a great idea. I didn't bring it to the Chinese. They just somehow saw the picture and decided they wanted to make the film over again, and they got in touch with New Line Pictures, who'd made the film, and they're a unit of Warner Brothers, and the picture was made in conjunction with Warner Brothers China. So Warner Brothers has a division over in China, and that's who actually made the film. But most important thing was they did end up paying us for the motion picture. Now, someone else just made a version of Phone Booth, which is a movie I wrote for 20th Century Fox, and they made it over in India. And they made an Indian version of it, and they didn't pay anything for it. They just pirated it because that's the way they do it over in India. They're very loose in terms of copyright, and they just take the property and remake it and offer you nothing in return. So Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, rather, who produced Phone Booth, is currently taking legal action against the Indian company. There's a lawsuit in progress over in India, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope you start directing movies with the Chinese cast and in China. There's no reason why to not take this talent right to China, where movies of this genre are beloved. They absolutely adore this type of movie. They love it.
That always was the case. And way in the past, when I did It's Alive back in probably 1974, 75, it played over in Asia and was extremely successful. As a matter of fact, It's Alive was the second most successful movie in the history of Warner Brothers Studios in Singapore. Now, Singapore is actually a major market over in the East, and the only film that Warner Brothers ever made that grossed more than It's Alive was My Fair Lady. Now, I'm sure that's been surpassed in the years since, but in 1975 or 76, when this happened, we were the second largest grossing picture in the history of the studio, and Warner Brothers had been around a long, long time. So that was nice to hear. People laughed when I said Singapore, as if it was some little shanty town, but it actually is a major country, and it does a lot of business for motion pictures. So it was an honor to be the second biggest grossing movie in the history of Singapore. So obviously Asian audiences responded then, but I didn't get another picture made over in Asia until they did a remake of Cellula and called it Connected.
Well, excellent. Well, this evening we've been talking to Larry Cohen, film producer of movies that you've probably seen most of your life but didn't know where they came from. Some of them are spooky, some of them are, I would say, action-adventure almost, and frightening. Wouldn't you say they're rather thriller movies?
Most of my movies have some degree of suspense, but I pride myself that the level of the acting and the performances in these movies is what really makes them special. I mean, we have never gone in for the more elaborate and expensive special effects, because those are things that you buy from different corporations that produce special effects. If you want to make your own movie, then you have to make your own movie, which is what I do. Other people who have big budgets, they're able to go out and buy the special effects from George Lucas's company or other companies. So, you know, you don't really make your own movie. You farm the expensive parts of the movie out to somebody else, and it looks great. But I don't want to do that. I want to control every aspect of my movie myself and make my own picture. So I'm a miniaturist, I guess you'd say. I do my own work, and I don't bring other people in to do it for me.
So, Larry, are you looking for actors? Are you looking for producers? Are you looking for investors?
No, I'm looking for motion picture studios that are producing movies for a living that make their money that way. I don't believe in independent investors. I don't believe people should ever invest money in movies, particularly not their savings or their retirement money or anything like that, with any expectation of getting it back. Movie companies that distribute movies and sell movies, they know how to get the money back. That's their business. So they should invest the money. And I don't take money from independent people, because I don't think it's fair to take their money, because the chances of them ever recovering the money is unlikely. But movie studios, they get their money back. They have ways of doing it. They know the ins and outs of the business. And so that's where you get your money from. So With films that I make, I almost always have a buyer or a distributor for the movie before I make it. And I don't run around trying to find investors or backers afterwards. I have these unproduced screenplays that are extremely good, that are of higher quality than what's being produced nowadays, and more adult films than usually you see being made. And I'm hoping that people will get excited about those, and that they will, as I say, call the studios or send them emails and recommend these films as something they would like to see. And the studios will step in and make the picture.
Now, when you say adult film, do you mean as in dramatic film, or do you mean as in adult sexually depicted films?
Oh, no. I mean in intelligence, level of sophistication and intelligence. I'm not interested in any adult films.
Dramatic.
I'm not interested in what you call sex films of any kind.
Okay, it's just that it's
a good question. Good question to ask, though.
Yeah, because commonly the word adult usually means rated X, but you're talking about dramatic work.
Hey, listen, adult used to mean being an adult. Today it means something entirely different.
Yes.
But fortunately, you know, it's the confusion. But I'm not interested in any explicit sexual stuff.
No, you're talking about dramatic works.
That's right. Stuff that appeals to intelligent people.
Yes.
Where they want to come out of the theater saying, hey, I really saw something that stimulated my mind, rather than having a lot of garbage thrown in their face and explosions mm-hmm. going off and monsters and aliens. I mean, it's been a very, very bad year for movies. I mean, so one bad movie after another, one disappointing movie after another. And usually they're just full of werewolves or aliens or vampires. I mean, it's just, I don't know how people can stand it. It's so tiresome. There's very few fresh ideas, and so many movies that are being made are remakes of other pictures that have been made in the past. Generally, they're not as good as the original, and people just don't seem to have any original ideas anymore. And even though there are good pieces of material floating around Hollywood, but people have no taste. The people who are being hired to buy the scripts and to produce the movies generally are very lacking in any sophistication or any taste. They just want to buy what they think will sell. And right now it's comic books. I used to like comic books when I was a kid, but I grew up. You know, and I'm afraid that there's just too many comic book movies around.
The action figures, I see that a lot. It's quite common now.
Yeah, well, I try to create real suspense in the movies and have real characters in conflict with one another and emotional conflicts and subplots. You know, you see much better writing and much better dramatics on television, and particularly on cable, on HBO and Showtime, than you do in motion pictures nowadays. Sad to say, but if you want any degree of sophistication in material, you're better off watching television or particularly the cable stations, pay cable. Movies themselves are going through a real decline. This is a very, very poor period for motion pictures. And they're very expensive to see. And all this 3D stuff as well, you know, I mean, there's enough 3D already. I've had enough of 3D. It's nice to see the occasional 3D movie, but now they got two of them opening every week, and most of them don't really require the 3D. It adds nothing to the picture. So, just a way of adding $5 to the price of the ticket.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, tonight we spent the evening with Larry Cohn, a movie producer that's got some really good work out there and stuff that I know you've grown up with. Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much for coming to SyndicatedNews.net.
This has been Larry Cohn, and I'm here at SyndicatedNews.net.